Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. How are we looking? Hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. Going to be talking Brewers coming up here in just 1 minute with our third base coach from the Brewers. And our we'll call him our inside the clubhouse correspondent, one Ed Cedar, right around the corner. This portion of the program being brought to you by Cousin Subs. You could be on the 50-yard line of Cousins, compliments of Cousin Subs at Lambeau Field right now. All you have to do is go to packers.com/best seats. It's the best seats in the house promotion, and it's all brought to you by Cousin Subs. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And they've been doing this now the last few years. Fantastic stuff. Give fans an opportunity to catch a game at Lambeau Field. Maybe you've never been to Lambeau Field. What a way to go. So go to Cousin Subs and just support them. And then obviously go to packers.com/best seats. And maybe you get yourself not only a Cousin Sub along the way, but a great shot at winning two seats to a Packers home game. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Bring him in now, Ed Cedar, Brewers third base coach. Eddie, how you doing, buddy?
Great. Good afternoon. How are you guys?
Doing well, and I got to start out right away with asking you, now when the Cubs did the thing with the schedule and moved the day game to a night game, I guess my question is, what was the reaction in the club? And we know management was upset, but what was the reaction in the clubhouse?
I don't know. I would think maybe some of us just thought maybe they knew it was going to rain during the afternoon, so they just pushed it back, knowing that maybe that would be my guess.
That's fantastic. Yeah, bring your umbrella type of day in Chicago. But really, overall, it gives you a little bit extra a breather, I guess. You got an off day on Thursday. You get to carry that into Friday. You don't have to worry about – guys can go out to dinner and have a few belts if they want to and not have to worry about getting up early for a day game on Friday. So really, I guess, as much as it can benefit the Cubs, it can also give you a little time, an extra time to relax, right?
Oh, yeah. It gives you like that whole, like you stated, we'll get in, get the whole day off, spend in Chicago. Some of us will head back to Milwaukee to spend it with the families and stuff like that. And, yeah, not having to rush back. And then, you know, usually because on a day game in Chicago, like that first bus is like at 8:30, so that eliminates that. So, yeah, I'm sure guys are not minding that.
So over the weekend, you win 3 out of 4 against Washington. Let's start there. You had to leave feeling pretty successful at what you had a chance to accomplish over the weekend, and knowing that, you know, you're still looking forward to that series with the Cubs because still your fate is in your own hands. But you had to feel good about the performance coming out of Los Angeles, getting 2 out of 3, and then winning 3 out of 4 against Washington. It seems like things are right on the right track right now.
Oh, yeah. You know, and playing some, two of the best teams in the National League within the three series, you know, with St. Louis mixed in there, faced some tough pitching, like you said, came away with 3 out of 4, ran into Homer Bailey, who pitched an actually okay game, but then yesterday we get the home runs to get back into it, and just happened to leave a 97, and Hamilton took it out. But yeah, if we're feeling good, like we're not playing any slouches, you know, coming out of that weekend series, and like you said, out in LA, did a fine job there, and hopefully we'll just keep it going and get the offense scoring some double-digit runs for us.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. The offense has been able to score runs. You haven't had that giant breakout type of game where you just say, okay, we're starting to pour it on, and offensively everything's firing on all cylinders. But when you go back to, yesterday in Billy Hamilton. Billy Hamilton on the season only hitting 250. It's not like he's lighting it up. So you didn't expect Billy Hamilton to be the guy to take a yard, did you? Because the only one he's got now, that's his fourth homer of the season or something like that, I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I look back at it, and someone had said that he has hit like 17 homers in his career, and like six or seven have been against us. And no, I like the odds. Josh was throwing well, throwing 97. In fact, the pitch he hit out, I believe, was 97. So it wasn't that, you know, he didn't have his stuff, but it just happens. And then there you got to, okay, do you play no doubles with Billy? Because if he bloops one in, chances are he's going to steal second. So we were, I don't know, it's tough when he's batting. But like you said, you know, not having the greatest of years, but still can do damage when he's on the bases, in the outfield. And, yeah, he's one that we gotta reckon with, which is a lot of the people in that Cincinnati Reds lineup, actually.
You bounce back and you get two out of three from Cincinnati. If you can win the next two, then, you know, all is kind of forgotten, so to speak, because, you know, it's really your memory is only the day before and what's looking ahead. Meanwhile, I mean, I don't know what the reaction would be, because you want to beat teams when they're at their best, but the Cubs lose Arrieta. Arrieta's been pitching pretty well. I mean, he's kind of turned his season around after a couple weeks after the All-Star break. He really started firing on all cylinders, and then he goes down with a hamstring injury yesterday. I'm not going to say that in the locker room or in the clubhouse, I should say, you're dancing for joy, but you think, okay, it certainly brings the Cubs pitching-wise back to the pack a little bit, even after they went out and got Quintana, right?
Oh, yeah, because like you stated, after the All-Star break, I believe Arrieta was if not pitcher of the month, was up in the running for that in August. But, yeah, he's been dominating. So tough break for the Cubs, but a good break for us. And hopefully we'll be able to take advantage of that.
When you talk about pitching, I want to go back to Hader, because you said he had really his good stuff. Obviously didn't have great stuff in a back-to-back over the weekend, has the day off, and then comes in and pitches again yesterday. Is it all about matchups and feel for Craig in those decisions, do you know? Or is it just about statistically, this is the particular position you want to throw him in? Because I know some people were screaming about it. It's all being hindsight as to what it is. But I didn't have a problem with Hader coming in. I thought, boy, that was a pretty smart move.
Oh, yeah. Those are the ups and downs of relief pitching. You have guys that have been, and he's been actually lights out. Besides his couple of hiccups as of late, but hey, you got to see what he can do. We got to see if he can do it. And like you stated, it was after the day off. He was resting. He was throwing 97. It just happens to the best of the relievers. I can remember Chapman. He's throwing in the hundreds, and I remember LaCroix hitting the homer to walk him off the one. So it just happens sometimes.
We were talking about Eric Thames a little bit earlier, and Neil Walker has been a guy that's come in and played numerous positions, batted pretty much anywhere you put him, obviously being a switch hitter. So at what point is it, because you guys are going for it. You make no mistake about it. I mean, I know Eric Thames had a tremendous start to the season, but he's struggling right now. Getting him into the lineup, is it just to try to see if he can kind of bounce back a little bit, or is it to give somebody else a breather? Because I'm thinking at this point in time, you're going with the best of everything you've got.
Oh, yeah, and then you're always, you know, hoping that he regains that form that, like you stated, he probably led us to the start we got off to when he had that awesome April, and then you're just hoping he regains it, and maybe something will click, and then you have it, or if not, just keep, I think Craig's been doing a great job mixing and matching, threw all the left-handers out in the Washington series in the one game, and, you know, I can't remember when we were able to do that. You know, usually the Brewers, we've been right-handed dominant, you know, besides, you know, also you have Prince in the lineup or, you know, another lefty, maybe two or three, and now all of a sudden we're able to, you know, be able to mix and match. If a starting pitcher really struggles against right-handers, we can put a bunch of right-handers in there, and vice versa. If he struggles against left-handers, we can put a bunch of left-handers in there. So, yeah, we're sitting, being able to mix and match, which is nice when you pick up the walker. So if you have that feeling it's going to be walk that day, you play him. If it's going to be Thames, you're just hoping to find that and get our offense back on track.
A 5-4 loss like that in walk-off fashion yesterday, how much of that can or does it carry over to the next day? Or are guys just anxious to go out and erase that feeling?
Probably just anxious to go out and erase that feeling. And like it. you know, probably a little bit more. And this team has shown the ability to do that. But, you know, we were down 4-0 and then 4-1 and the 3-run homer by Arcia, you know, so it wasn't, all right, let's just cash this one in. We'll get them tomorrow. We battled back. And then so it makes it a little bit more of a sting. But this team's been doing well of being able to bounce back after, you know, pretty tough losses. So I look for us to do that tonight.
Always good, Eddie, and hopefully you guys do get a couple of wins because we're really looking forward to that series down in Chicago over the weekend. I can guarantee this, this time of year, which is always cool, but when you're in the Packers press box, normally it is every station is on every Packers channel you can possibly find, but we all find ourselves at this time of year when you guys are in it paying attention to what you're doing. That's the sign as to whether or not you've got something good going on. So as long as you're a couple of games back, three games back, I'm sure this Sunday is going to be interesting in the Packers press box.
Yep, that is nice because, you know, go Packers, of course, and but go Brewers. Maybe we'll have a doubleheader win that day.
That would be fantastic. Good stuff as always, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. That's Ed Cedar joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Eddie, it comes to us on that hotline that says, hey, if you need a job or you want to join another team, Schneider's the way to do it. 844-PRIDER, go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDER, go to schneiderjobs.com. You work hard and they treat you fair. They've been doing it for a long time. 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical Center, treating guys with ED, erectile dysfunction all over the state and beyond the borders. They have a location in Green Bay, have a location in Chicago, have a location in Milwaukee. And if it's ED that's got you down, like the sound effect there, didn't you there, Bart? Just thought I'd throw it in there for you. Or if it's the low T treatments that you need. That would be a major disappointment from the partner right there.
I thought
I'd throw that
not
out.
Not that I know.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I just heard from a friend.
It can happen, yes.
Yeah, not me.
It can happen.
No.
Unfortunately. And not because of, you know, a lot of imbibing. It can just happen. So there you have it. if you have the low T treatments, if you need better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, whatever, they can help you out there. Or it's the all-in-one weight loss program. Jumpstart the weight loss program. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. I want to go back to what the call we had before the top of the hour talking about Ted Thompson and trades. And I want to see your reaction if this is correct in your eyes. If this is correct in your eyes. Stick around. More of the Bill Michael Show is next.
This is the Marshfield Clinic Bill Michael Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Bart Winkler filling in for the one ailing of Radio Joe.
Pleasure's yours.
So you say.
is that right, Bart?
Joe has an like an abscessed tooth, man. That's never a good thing.
You ever have one of those? No, how do you get those?
You can just start to have like a cavity that becomes infected, or you can have something in the gum line, you know, that creates an abscess under the gum line. I mean, it happens. I've had one, you know, it's terrible because it's basically an infection. So you go on antibiotics, and as long as the tooth is salvageable, you just keep antibiotics, they drain it out, and it's okay. But if you have an abscess to the point that it needs to be removed, I've had that too.
It's too much chew. A lot of people don't know, Joe, chews tobacco.
Smokeless tobacco?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, when they put the ban in at
big
the ballpark.
Yeah, that's
big
right.
Big pinch before the start of the Bill Michael Show.
I seen, you know.
Right between there's cheek and gum.
I thought it was a whole, I thought he didn't eat sunflower seeds. It was just sunflower.
No. That's why he's spitting all the time.
Yeah, okay.
You know, hey, Clemens says it. You got to take
his
word for
it. You know, he's driving right now, and he's just hit a tree. He's so mad he just hit a tree. I can't believe they're talking about me. You got abscess and you're going to go to my pharmacy.
Bart just recorded me laughing.
Yeah, exactly.
You ever accidentally do that? When I went to college, I would have my roommates that would always spit into a can.
Yeah.
And then I had a Mountain Dew can.
Oh,
and they
no,
were
I never
spitting
did that.
In a Mountain
no,
Dew can.
No, I never did that.
And I drank the spit.
No, I never did that. Never did that.
It's not great.
No, it's
not. Picking up the wrong can, right?
Yeah.
No, I've never done that.
And then you try to act like you did it on purpose.
You know, here's the thing. How far we've come. This is how far we've come in the world of tobacco.
TJ Lang still chews, by the way.
Well, look at that.
There you have it.
Yeah.
I do remember that, doing interviews with him and smelling that mint.
Well, he had that. When Bart said can, it reminded me, TJ's always got the can.
Yeah, he always had it.
You know, he'd ask him a question, he'd think about it.
Spit, and then he'd answer the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because his breath always smelled fresh. He always had that mint smell.
Right.
Every time he walked up. You always knew it was tobacco.
Right.
But it was always minty.
Did he ever have an abscess tooth?
Not that I know of. But then again, that wouldn't have shown up on the injury report because Mike McCarthy would have talked about it as possibly having a bad headache.
Yeah.
They would have hit it that way.
He's got a significant tooth injury. Okay, Mike.
But going back to when I was in eighth grade and ninth grade, playing ball, Legion ball and AAU ball, baseball, I was chewing tobacco.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing to do.
You could buy it.
Sure.
That was the amazing thing. It was, in today's day and age, it's unheard of.
Right.
But I remember it was beech nut, wintergreen, and it wasn't the little packets or pouches. It was tobacco. I kept it in my back pocket playing baseball.
Right.
Until I got hit right in a beanbag and I ended up swallowing it and threw up all over the field. That was the end of my chewing days. I thought, this isn't going to happen anymore. Took a ground ball that hit something. And next thing you know, everything got really bright. Stomach didn't feel good. And cup or no cup, it was not happening.
Guys who chew tobacco, the best story always ends up being the one time that they swallowed that crap.
Terrible, terrible.
My grandfather, World War II, chewed tobacco until he was driving a truck at night, Japanese fighters flying over the Philippines. He pulls the truck over because it's full of explosives, dives into a ravine to get low like this. That's when he swallowed the tobacco.
Really?
Yeah.
Threw up?
Sicker than a dog for 2 days.
Yeah. That's usually how all tobacco stories end.
Yeah.
You know, diving in a ravine because here come the Japanese.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I can't compare to that.
Fire,
you know,
planes,
I took a one hop line drive into the naughty zone, and I'm complaining. Meanwhile, grandfather is driving an arsenal full of weaponry and bombs. Right. The Japanese attack. I mean, he swallows tobacco.
Right.
I think his level of opportunity and mine are completely different. Just I'd throw it out there. You ready for Sunday, man?
Sure.
I know we're going to talk. Are we talking now? We're talking now or talking
1:15.
Later? Okay. You just showed up early. It's kind of nice. Just,
yeah.
Are you amazed by the cuts?
No.
I really wasn't.
Well, I'm amazed at what stayed. I'm amazed at all the guys on. They got 10 offensive linemen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed they've got 5 running backs. You know, that's kind of a head scratcher, but there's a lot of indecision going on there.
Yeah. We'll talk more about that. Scintillating conversation coming up a little bit later on the program.
I had a great interview. I want to play some interview I did with Ahmad Brooks yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jazzed about that guy. He gave me some honest answers, Bill.
That doesn't happen very often.
No.
Oh, by the way, I was speaking of Packers. So the cigar dinner that we're doing down here in Milwaukee is coming up Thursday night. Almost
nice,
sold
nice
out.
Nice weather for the poker run over the weekend.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Well.
It was a great event.
Jeez.
So, but I was just informed on the 20th, we're doing our final cigar dinner in Green Bay, which is a Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to do the show in Green Bay, and then I'm going to join, because next week I'm on vacation. I got to take a vacation.
Yeah.
But next week I'm on vacation, but the week after, I'll be in Green Bay on that Wednesday with you, and we have a cigar dinner after that, and
sounds
you have
good.
Been invited if you want to come over.
Fantastic. Right after practice. Be right
so
over there.
5:30, I think, is the cigar dinner.
Perfect.
And 5:30 to 6:30 is cocktails. 6:30 to 9 is dinner and Q&A.
Good time.
So
see our listeners in the Green Bay area.
That'll be fantastic.
Of which there are many.
We will announce where you can pick the tickets up beginning on Friday. So there you go.
That's both of us that were invited?
If you want to go,
I'll
bring you. We got the one coming up on on Thursday night down here.
Yeah,
at the
Mike,
Iron Horse
come
Hotel.
On board. Just Mike.
Yeah. Well, Mike's in Green Bay. That's the reason I pointed that
I'll
out.
I'll be in Green Bay then.
He's in Green Bay that day.
You don't know where I'll be.
Nobody knows where you're going to be.
That's a good point.
You're going to be in Green Bay.
You're like the wind.
You want to come up with me that day?
You're like the wind.
Sure.
That was a ringing endorsement for yeah, I'll
nah,
be there.
I'll be there, yeah. I'll be there.
Sound a little like Euchre there for a minute. Yeah, I'll be there. I really will.
All right, Jim.
So, you notice nobody ever does Euchre in that manner with any of his other partners? All right, back to you, Corey.
All right, Corey.
None of that. It's just always Jim.
All right, Joe. Yeah, all right, Jim. When you do the impression.
Yeah,
all right, always Jim. Does, all right, Jim. You're right about that.
Yeah, nobody does anything else. As if nobody's existed after Jim Powell. It's just been a myriad of voices that just happened to be there.
Has Euchre been calling his partner Jim for 20 years?
That's that possible, too, yeah. Euchre is 83.
Yeah.
Man, it's amazing. I mean, he still sounds good. I mean, there's, you know, everybody, as you get older, there's different approaches of way that you do things, but Euchre still sounds good.
One of the funniest guys in the country. He really is.
Still sounds good. I was listening to the Reds broadcast, and Marty Brenneman is over 70 now, and Marty still does a fantastic job. Great. I mean, like, he's never missed a beat.
Right.
You know? I'm just always amazed. Vin Scully still sounds good. You know? And Vin Scully's, what, 104? I think is he not, like, in his 90s? Am I mistaken
91,
there?
91, 92?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's in his 90s.
Yeah.
So, wow. We just went down like a really weird myriad of lanes. When we come back, I do want to get
Euchre chews tobacco too. Just let's throw that out there.
Did he? I bet you he did in his day. I bet
sure
you Bob took
did.
A chew every
sure
now and then.
Yeah. Point, sure, yeah.
All those baseball players did way back when. Red Man, remember that?
Absolutely.
Red Man chewing tobacco. When I grew up in Cincinnati, we had a farm in Bright, Indiana that I went to on weekends. That's where we worked. And my dad bought this farm with a buddy of his from the Army. And on the side of the barn was Red Man chewing tobacco. So
during the break, I heard earlier in the show the name Porkopolis.
Porkopolis, Cincinnati.
Yeah, we got to talk about that off the air.
We're not talking about fat women or just large heinies in general, even though you and I had a great time at Oktoberfest down there a few years ago.
Outstanding. I wish they'd play the Bengals again.
Yeah, well, they do, but unfortunately that week they're here.
Right. That's the problem.
Yeah, because we got to get down to that.
Right.
That was fantastic. Well, you know, the other good Oktoberfest in the state is in La Crosse. They have a great Oktoberfest.
I was at the one in Cincinnati that year.
Yeah.
I went to that game. It was raining all weekend. Or
in
Friday
Cincinnati?
Night. Friday night.
I was
going
to say it rained on Friday night because we had a great time on Saturday.
Yeah, no. I was at Golic's Bar.
Went to La Crosse.
That's in Cleveland.
I was going to say, that's in Cleveland. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
I go on these Packer road trips as a fan.
Yeah.
And I don't
but Cleveland
remember.
And Cincinnati are completely opposite ends.
Yeah, that's but like, you got to understand.
That's like driving
I'm blacked out the whole time.
I was going to say, that was like driving from Superior to Milwaukee.
The
you
fact
know?
That I remembered one thing about each weekend
hey,
is
I
a
was
win.
In Ohio.
Yeah. Now, Bart, like, that was Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's
okay.
Like saying you stopped by, you know, in La Crosse and you were suddenly, you know, I was there.
Yeah, yeah,
know,
yeah.
The Green
so
Bay.
We should be grateful you remember the cities.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's true, yeah. And I'll be at Dallas this year. I'm going to the Dallas
Did we
game.
All hit like a five-mass skull bong before we did this segment of the show? This has just been really
no,
weird.
No, Joe had some leftover chewing tobacco. I haven't chewed since college, so.
More of the Bill Michaels show next.
Border to border. The Marshfield Clinic, Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. This portion of the program being brought to you by Marshfield Clinic. I have some numbers for you, and I want to see your opinion if you think they're correct. If they're correct, because I have my own opinion as to where I think placement should be. And I think some of these things you could flip-flop, but I'll tell you what I'm talking about coming up here in a minute. Marshfield Clinic, been a good sponsor of the program for a long time. You know, they fixed my knee up and got me back moving around and feeling really, really good and no complaints. I mean, they've just been fantastic people there. So, look, if you're looking for something regarding the Marshfield Clinic, regarding some of their services, whatever it happens to be, check out the Marshfield Clinic. The Marshfield Clinic and their healthcare system, it's been fantastic. They are the official healthcare provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, and they're celebrating 100 years. And my doc fixed my knee up, got me back in the game like I've talked about time and again. And if it's an extended hospital stay that's kept you from, say, hip or shoulder or knee surgery, you need to know that Marshfield Clinic Orthopedics, they can get you back home in as little as one day. You heard me right, one day. Marshfield Clinic's Premier Care Program offers the latest procedures to get you back to normal as fast as possible. Make that call today, 855-MC-ORTHO. 855-MC-ORTHO. Or just simply go to marshfieldclinic.org to find out all about their physicians and services and locations nearest you. Marshfield Clinic, the official healthcare provider of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So listen to this and see if this is correct, okay? The NFL came out with their power rankings. Number one, we all expect New England Patriots. Number two, Seattle Seahawks. Number three, Atlanta Falcons. Number four, Green Bay Packers. Number five, Pittsburgh Steelers. Number six, Oakland Raiders. Number seven is the New York Giants. Number eight, the Dallas Cowboys. Number nine, the Kansas City Chiefs. And number 10, the St. Louis, or I shouldn't say St. Louis, the Arizona Cardinals. Now, look, I agree with the Patriots. I think the Falcons are still one of the top teams in all of football. They've got a ton of weapons on offense, a pretty solid defense. I know because of the apprehension about the new offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, running attack and all that kind of stuff. Maybe people are kind of waiting to see, but I think they're more talented than most NFC teams. The Seahawks jumping up, I don't get that. I don't understand that. The franchise quarterback in Russell Wilson made some plays out of the pocket, on the run, in the pocket, downfield, short game. Throw a healthy running back rotation in there, and it seems like everybody's jumping on board. But I can't buy into the Seattle Seahawks being the second-best team in all of football right now.
What is going on with their running back situation?
Well, they feature Thomas Rawls and Eddie Lacy. They've got, Chris Carson.
Yeah, he came on in the preseason.
Yeah, if you watched Eddie Lacy run, Lacy's running like he's a man possessed right now. He's looking to hurt people when he runs.
I've seen conflicting things. I've seen a little bit of him in the preseason. I think, oh, wow, the Packers let him get away. And then I saw some reports that say maybe he's not as quick as they want him to. And then I see an article where he's eating a hot dog on the sideline. So I don't know what to think.
Well, you look at him and he's clearly slimmed down. It's not like Eddie Lacy's gotten fat. Or stayed fat. Don't get me wrong. He's not Eddie Lacy rookie year. But he's also not Eddie Lacy 265, 270, like he looked coming off the field in Arizona a couple years ago.
Right.
So he has lost some weight. But I think they're going to get it done, much like the Packers get it done. They're going to get it done in a group. And Eddie Lacy's going to be your short yardage guy. Thomas Rawls can be a guy that can do many different things. And then Chris Carson showed him something in the preseason, so that's the reason they went with three running backs. But it certainly, if you've got short yardage situations and you've got Russell Wilson under center, pick your poison. Is it going to be Russell? Because now, do you collapse the box on Eddie Lacy, who can run you over, or now, because he's not Marshawn Lynch in his heyday, but he's not Eddie Lacy in his heyday either. But Eddie Lacy's still formidable. I mean, look what he was doing last year with a bad ankle against Dallas before he ultimately went down. He was having, in statistically, one of his best seasons, if not his best season ever. So I think he still has something in the tank. But pick your poison. Do you then roll him out, Russell Wilson, on play action? They've got a very solid tight end. We all know that. They got decent wide receivers. So as long as that offensive line can support that, I think they're offensively going to be a pretty pesky team. I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to score 25 points a game. But I think they're a pretty good football team, but the second-best team in all of football?
They're somewhat of a slow starter from what I can remember. I know Miami took them to the wire week one last year. So they come into Lambeau, road game for them.
Mm-hmm.
In week one, you kind of have to get this one.
You got
to
get this one because then you're staring at the barrel. Do the Falcons open up the first week at home?
No, they're on the road. They are in Chicago.
So they're in Chicago. That's what I thought, because then you're all talking about opening up Mercedes-Benz Stadium down there as the second game. So you can't lose to Seattle at home.
No.
And then turn around and try to go down and open up Mercedes-Benz Stadium and then come back and get a reprieve against a seemingly okay Cincinnati team.
Because then the Packers are 0-2, and then we're talking about should they have played more in the preseason, and why did we get rid of Lacy and Vince Beagle and T.J. Watt and all the different scenarios that we'll come up with when they're 0-2.
I mean, and then Cincinnati, we know, has been a playoff team for how many years in a row now? And they haven't been able to get over the hump, but they're not a bad team. They're not a good team, but they bring some weaponry. A.J. Green's one of the premier wide receivers in all of football.
And you'll see Joe Mixon that game.
And you'll see Joe Mixon in that game, another guy that can run the football. And that's been somewhat controversial, obviously, down there. But nevertheless, I mean, it's not an easy 1-2-3 punch for the Green Bay Packers. But as a matter of fact, when you're talking about the Patriots being number one, the next two opponents for the Green Bay Packers, the Seahawks and the Falcons, are just ahead of them in the power rankings. Packers at number four. Steelers, I agree with. Steelers are always in the mix. This is what becomes interesting, is that they got the Cowboys falling to eight with the Giants and the Raiders both ahead of the Cowboys. The secondary remains the Achilles heel across the Raiders team. And, you know, as much as they're talking about everything with Marshawn Lynch and the return a year after and all that kind of stuff over in the offensive side of things, the defense is still probably the Achilles heel for the Oakland Raiders. But Derek Carr, he's going to be pretty good. You know, you just don't know how good, coming off of the injury and off of last season, the disappointment of last season when he went down with the injury prior to the playoffs, and then their quick exodus. And then you've got the Giants. Nobody's really talking about the Giants.
No.
But not seeing much drop-off of their defensive unit this season. They got a lot of quality guys over there. They got some good all-pro football team, or all-pros over there that on this football team. Teams are going to suck trying to run up the middle against this group. Odell Beckham being healthy, that's obviously huge for the opener against Dallas. Brandon Marshall's stunted preseason and the run game and all that kind of stuff that they got going on. Somebody has to finally step up for that team, but that's gonna be a good team. They got a pretty good offensive line over there protecting Eli Manning as well. Good in the trenches. Then there's the Cowboys. That's gonna be interesting as to how, you know, Dak Prescott performs without Zeke Elliott. And that's a whole other weird scenario we never really expounded upon. But the NFL, their own investigator recommending no suspension.
So unless I was reading rumors, it seems like the Ezekiel Elliott situation and the Lucky Whitehead situation, did you see any of that?
No, I didn't. I didn't pay attention to anything over the weekend.
Connected. So Lucky Whitehead, one of their receivers, got released like out of the blue a couple months ago. And there was a DUI or some weird situation with him where he didn't do the shoplifting thing, where he didn't actually do it. But the report is that Ezekiel Elliott's former girlfriend, the one that's accusing him, was then hooking up with Lucky and the whole ball of wax there.
The one thing about all of this is with Zeke Elliott, even when he was in Ohio State, the rumors ran rampant about some of the improprieties that were going on there. Just stuff, shady, crappy stuff has followed him. And he gets himself involved in situations because he's Zeke Elliott and he thinks he can do whatever the hell he wants. He gets himself involved in situations where he just doesn't think it's any big deal. And he really hasn't had to pay any major price for it. And that's what the league is trying to do. They're trying to send him the message that this is going to end. And otherwise, we're really, really going to slam you. Because he just keeps doing it. And nothing's ever... People that have claimed things against him suddenly have gone quiet. Even the video, he's grabbing a girl's boob. He just does it. We got video of it. And she's like, nah, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. You know, yeah, he had it right. You know, nothing ever happens to him. So he just kind of keeps doing it. And that's the reason the NFL, just from what I understand, came down on him so hard. Now we'll wait and see what actually happens. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. On the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. But do you think that the Green Bay Packers, where they are ranked in the power rankings, sitting there at number four, too high, too low, or just right, and then having Seattle and Atlanta ahead of them, followed by Pittsburgh, the Raiders, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, and then the Cardinals in the top 10? Sound right to you? Yes, no, or indifferent? More of the Bill Michael Show next.
You're listening to the Marshfield Clinic, Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. How's your day today? Hopefully it's good. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. On the loans by KIPP.com. Toll free talk line. Give us a shout. 855-830-8648. And join us on the program if you should choose to do so. This one is from Mark, who says, I think the Packers are still rated a little bit too high. I would put the Cowboys ahead of them, along with the Steelers and along with the Atlanta Falcons. They're probably about even with the Seattle Seahawks. See, I was thinking, when you look at this, we're talking about the power rankings the NFL put out a little while ago. It's Patriots, Seahawks, Falcons, Packers, Steelers, Raiders, Giants, Cowboys, Chiefs, Cardinals, top 10. I think you could probably flip-flop at any point in time the Seahawks, the Packers, the Steelers, the Raiders, the Giants. I was thinking if a repeat of last year happens in Dallas, then I could almost say Patriots, Falcons, Cowboys, and then you can pretty much throw a dart at the rest of the top 10. I think the Packers are a very good team. It says right here, Aaron Rodgers barely played in August preseason football. Yo, but I like what I'm seeing. All the handwriting about Ty Montgomery getting passed in the depth chart and losing opportunities to Jamal Williams is going to go the same place as all those Najee Davenport is going to run for 1,000-yard takes in the trash. Depth on the offensive line and at linebacker is problematic, but the secondary, despite popular belief, is not. This is according to the NFL, NFL.com. The writer is Elliot Harrison, by the way. And looking at the depth, he thinks that the secondary is going to be good. It's the linebacker and the offensive line depth that is going to become an issue. When in reality, that linebacker position is going to be fortified via the safety position, probably more so than anything. He says about the Atlanta Falcons, tough to move the defending NFC champs down, and knows some more lame reasoning piling on about the Super Bowl hangover is not coming in the next few sentences. The Seahawks looked formidable in the preseason. The Falcons did not against the Cardinals. Even the most ardent Atlanta fan will tell you there is some apprehension about the new offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, running the attack, even if the offense looked viable in weeks 1 and 2 of the preseason. And he says, side note, could it be that we are all missing the point with the Falcons, i.e., they may be, could be, more talented on the other side of the ball? Now, there is something to be said, history repeating itself, for the team that loses the Super Bowl not making it back to the postseason. I can't see it this year. I think the Falcons are a very good football team. But stranger things have happened. You know, as far as teams not making it back, everybody thought that Cam Newton and company were going to go back again, and I was one that said, they're not going back. It ain't going to happen. That team is just weird. I don't see the consistency. I don't see the type of play out of a team that went to the Super Bowl that was going to come back and all of a sudden just, you know, set the world on fire. As a matter of fact, in the rankings here, the most unrankable group for week one, admittedly, the Carolina Panthers. He says he's probably too low on the Panthers. This feels like a possible 9-7 outfit, but there's only one team that can inhabit the number 16 spot in these rankings. And of the groups in pro football's Middle Earth, I have the most concerns and questions about this Carolina team. What about the pass rush coming off the edge? Who can hold coverage other than James Bradbury? Who is the vertical threat on this offense? Cam Newton threw all of 2 passes in August, and how long can Greg Olsen keep being the top option? And it says, am I missing something? We'd love a few Panthers hot takes there from Panther fans maybe. But the NFL, he has them ranked at number 23 in the power rankings, just above Cincinnati and just below the Baltimore Ravens. You could also ask then, what is the surprise team this year? What is a surprise team that's lurking around out there? You know, is it going to be the Dolphins or, you know, God, maybe the Texans, Buccaneers? How about the Lions? Could the Lions be? Because the Lions are ranked just outside the top 10. They're sitting at number 12. Said, thinking this team is on the outskirts of the playoffs, fully capable of being the 6th seed in the NFC, if not topping the Packers. Now, earlier in the offseason, I felt Detroit could win the NFC North. The injury to left tackle Taylor Decker since then, along with the obviously lack of pass rush, affected that prognostication. The Lions should be fantastic up the middle with Deshaun Robinson and Lodi Nata. And the rookie Mike backer Jared Davis. The secondary isn't as formidable they need more pressure. And he's right. That's been the Achilles heel of the secondary for the Achilles heel of the Lions has been the secondary for quite some time now. But could they be a team that sneaks up on you? But after that, the Vikings come in at number 20, and then there's the Chicago Bears at number 25. So everybody that said it's going to be the Vikings, at least the power rankings say it's not going to be the Vikings, it's going to be the Detroit Lions. I think the Lions are one of two teams. The team that was able to figure out ways to win last year, in which I think they won 9 games in the last couple of minutes of those ball games, trailed most of the game, or the team that was trailing those games and figured out ways to win but just isn't good enough to get over the top, so teams are going to figure out ways to beat them, and they're going to be just beaten like a drum this year. One of the two. One of the two things is going to happen. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. When we come back, we'll talk more about this, talk more about the Packers roster. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, is coming up. Mike Clemens, NFL Sirius Radio and XM Radio, going to be joining us in studio as well. A lot of Packers chatter in the next hour. Stick around, a lot more to come right after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Marshfield Clinic, Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.